Case, and that's United States of America versus Cesar Omar Montes Salas. And Mr. Sokoloff, you will tell us exactly how to pronounce his name.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Your Honors, this case presents two issues. The first issue is whether the admission, erroneous admission, of the so-called expert testimony by federal agents requires the reversal of Mr. Montes Salas' convictions. The second issue is whether the erroneous admission of hearsay testimony of the phone number of the smuggler, Carlos, requires the reversal of Mr. Montes Salas' convictions. With regard to the first issue, the admission of the so-called expert testimony does require the reversal of Mr. Montes Salas' convictions. In United States versus Brito, this Court made clear that profile evidence is inadmissible to prove substantive evidence of guilt based on similarities between the defendant and a profile. And this Court's opinions following Brito make clear that expert testimony that is the functional equivalent of an opinion that the defendant was knowingly involved in the criminal activity is impermissible and, in fact, is plain error. For example, in Gutierrez-Farias, this Court held that the agent saying that all truck drivers know that marijuana is in their vehicle was impermissible expert testimony. Your Honors, I think the case most clearly on point is Gonzalez-Rodriguez. In that case, this Court held that it was class profile testimony for the agent to testify that drug couriers generally have no criminal history, because this suggested to the jury that Mr. Gonzalez-Rodriguez, who had no criminal history, was a drug courier. It further held...
Okay, where was the error here in terms of the...
The error here?
The error here in terms of the expert testimony.
The expert testimony, actually there were two or three things that were testified to that are the error. Number one, the agent testified that Mr. Montes Salas was riding in the passenger seat of the pickup truck that was stopped that had aliens in it. And in their so-called expert testimony, they said that guides ride in the passenger seat. Number two, they said that Mr. Montes Salas got out of the pickup truck when it first stopped, rather as opposed to when it stopped the second time. And they opined, in their expert opinion, that guides get out in the first stop rather than a second stop. Further, another agent opined that the guide and the driver know each other. So you have Mr. Montes Salas in a passenger seat, identified in their expert opinion as a guide. He got out. He's identified as a guide in their opinion. And supposedly, who's ever sitting in that passenger seat?
What if the expert had said, look, you know, you got five illegal aliens from the Dominican Republic and from the country of India here. They don't know where they are. They don't know how to get where they're going. Somebody in there is a guide. I don't know who it was, but, I mean, under any kind of rationale, somebody in there is a guide. Now, you pick the one that you think is a guide, and here are the characteristics of the guide.
Well, that's just pure speculation. First of all, that's the problem.
What do you mean it's speculation? In there is a guide.
That's pure speculation. They take aliens to meet guides. Guides are waiting in the brush to guide people. You can't say that somebody in that truck is a guide. There's nothing in the record to support that. I mean, the way the expert testified in this case...
What were they doing there? In other words, what were the three people in the cab of the truck? You had a driver, a second person, and a third person, right?
Right.
What were they doing there?
Well, Mr. Montes Salas' post-arrest statement said he was going to California. He was an alien just like the other aliens. And just in case the jury would somehow fail to adopt this expert opinion that he was a guide, the agent gave another expert opinion that often they have two people as guides, so that when the two people got out and ran, lo and behold, both of them had to be guides. I mean, Mother Teresa could have been in the front seat of that cab, and she would have been convicted. It's the same as saying alien smugglers wear black robes and sit behind high benches. What's a jury going to conclude about the panel here?
Well, you don't get personal.
No, just an example, Your Honor. But It's classic profile testimony to say whoever sits in that passenger seat is a guide. The defendant was sitting in that passenger seat. He was a guide, therefore he's guilty. And not only is it plain error, but it affected Mr. Montes Salas' substantial rights and the fairness of the proceeding. Four of the aliens who testified at trial had nothing inculpatory to say about Mr. Montes Salas. They were supposedly on the trip, and many of them couldn't even identify him in the courtroom. The only two aliens who had something negative to say, one said, Mr. Montes Salas opened the door at the third house and led them upstairs. The other one said, no, Mr. Montes, well, he didn't say no, he said Carlos opened the door and led them upstairs. So the evidence in this case was very weak, and I would submit, Your Honors, that this is classic profile testimony, and that it affected my client's substantial rights.
Did he have an explanation as to why he was let out first, a second?
He said somebody, they pulled over and...
Did he testify?
No, in his post-arrest statement, I believe he stated that the truck pulled over and somebody said run, and so he ran. I mean, if we're to speculate, there are any number of plausible explanations.
Well, let me ask you where the alleged expert testimony went astray. You mentioned Gonzalez-Rodriguez as the key case, and there it was held that the government may introduce evidence that the defendant exhibited the individual behaviors that make up a drug courier profile. We can allow background testimony as to how these sorts of transactions or whatever the issue is are generally handled. Where did this witness, who seems to me could testify on many of the details that you're complaining about, what's your best example of where the expert, where the witness went too far? Did he give the background about couriers riding, guides riding inside the car? Are you saying he can't even testify that usually there's a guide and that often when they're being chased that they will slow down and let people jump out? Are those sorts of things prohibited?
I think where he goes wrong, Gonzalez-Rodriguez discusses this. I mean, to pick out a characteristic and to testify that that characteristic is a profile, a characteristic of a knowing guilty participant is what the error is. For example, in Gonzalez-Rodriguez, the agent testified that drug traffickers generally pick couriers who have no prior criminal record. And this court said, no, you can't do that because the jury's going to say, well, Gonzalez-Rodriguez has no prior criminal record, therefore he's guilty. I mean, in this case, the agent picked out a characteristic sitting in a particular seat. That's what made him guilty, and that's exactly what the AUSA argued in the first part of his closing argument and in rebuttal argument, that, ladies and gentlemen, he was sitting in that seat. And that makes him a guide, and that makes him guilty. So it's classic profile testimony to pick out one characteristic that makes him a knowing participant. I mean, you don't need any other evidence. If he was sitting in that seat, he's guilty. He's a guide because guides sit in that seat. And I think that's the problem with the profile testimony here. Similarly, in Gonzalez-Rodriguez, this court said it was improper when the agent said, the first thing I would look for is a legitimate load. And this court said, no, you can't give that kind of an opinion because Mr. Gonzalez-Rodriguez had a legitimate load, and so the jury's going to infer from what you're saying, from your opinion, that he's a drug courier. Now, I agree with what you're saying, and I'm not saying that all expert testimony on the characteristics of drug trafficking or alien smuggling are impermissible. For example, I forget which case it is, but this court approved an agent getting up and testifying about the characteristics of an alien crossing versus a drug crossing. And that was designed to show not that the defendant was actually guilty of committing the crime, but I believe the court said it was permissible to show that so that the alien could not say I was merely crossing illegally. It was just designed to show that, in general, this was a drug trafficking crime. I mean, to me, where the agent goes awry is saying that somebody with that characteristic is a knowing participant, and you can't do that.
Can I move you to this little problem of double hearsay?
Yes, Your Honor.
What is the length, if we conclude that that is double hearsay, what is the linkage to Carlos of the defendant Montes?
Well, one of the government's argument in closing argument is that Mr. Montes Salas was not just an alien, because he had his phone bill had Carlos's phone number on it 38 times. Carlos the smuggler, 38 times. And so the government wanted the jury to infer that he must have therefore been part of the smuggling operation. Of course, without the double hearsay, which came from Mr. G. Singh's sister.
An agent, my one agent says another agent told me that, then ultimately the statement that is accused statement is the statement of the sister.
Yes, Your Honor.
And she obviously not declaring on the stand. Government says that, well, that's further to conspiracy. She's not a conspirator. It's hard to see that, so 801-D2. Offer for the truth of it plainly. I'm not sure what the argument is. It's not hearsay. It strikes me as very plainly hearsay. But my question goes to the problem of prejudice, and I wanted you to articulate for me if that testimony is incompetent, it can't be considered. And then my question is, what other evidence is there and of that linkage to Carlos? That's pretty damning when you tie them to the dealer.
As I recall the record, I don't think there is any other linkage. Well, I mean, there is Mr. G. Singh's statement that Carlos was present at the house. There is some linkage. I think Mr. G. Singh testified that Carlos brought pizza and soda to the third house and told the defendant, get it in there. There was another piece of evidence. Oh, pass out the blankets, that Carlos in the third house told Mr. Montes Salas, there were blankets. He told him, pass out the blankets. So, but, I mean, the thing is, Mr. Fernandez, who was an alien who was being transported, also testified that he himself prepared bags of food under the direction of Carlos. So although Mr. Montes Salas is doing menial tasks every now and then at the direction of Carlos.
The record? The evidence before the jury of what Carlos's, who Carlos was and the role he played. I know some of the evidence was that Carlos, one said he didn't appear to be 18 years old.
Right. Carlos, from the first house to the second house to the third house, he played a role sometimes as a transporter. Sometimes one witness said Mr. Montes Salas showed him upstairs, but another witness said Carlos showed him upstairs. I think it's clear from the record that Carlos was the guide or motivating force to get the aliens from Mexico from one house to the next house to the next house, Your Honor. Your Honor, for all these reasons, I respectfully request that you reverse Mr. Montes Salas' convictions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sokolow. Ms. Wilson, we'll hear from you.
Let me ask you a question about profiling. The government in these cases argue that they should be able to establish the business model as you would in any other case, maybe a white-collar case, whatever, so that the jury can have the context. The difficulties I'm having with these series of cases is that you construct that model off various pieces of the same kind of this, that, and the other, but you don't. It's not the same model all the time. It looks carefully tailored to the facts of the case. In other words, well, this guy's in the shotgun seat, and he's obviously an illegal alien. That's where you can get him, whatever you can do to him, but you can't get him from importation unless you make him an importer rather than just a passive illegal alien. So, but he's in the shotgun seat, and that's their theory, so whatever. The next case comes in, he's not in the shotgun seat. And then you don't hear that, you don't, somebody else is in the shotgun seat, and you don't hear that testimony. What I'm saying to you is that you look at the cases, facts and the fact pattern, I get the sense that you got the prosecutors have a toolkit in which they can construct a picture. And it just seems to always fit this defendant. Now, whether that, if you don't have a generic profile, but rather you have a case-specific profile, then I think one would say, and you'd probably agree with me, that crosses the line, if that's the case.
I would agree with that. I also think the court has recognized that when it talks about the thin borderline. Because if you look at these cases, sometimes they are somewhat difficult to pick up going from A to B. But here's what's a little bit different in this case. First of all, it's an alien smuggling cases. And most of the cases out there that I've seen anyway are drug cases. And you have less of a risk of convicting an innocent person in an alien case than you would in a drug case where you can hide drugs in a tire or what have you. The other thing that's unique about this case, although...
No, but before you leave that, that would be true because just everybody in there is illegal in a sense. They're not legally in the country. But their role in it makes a lot of difference, right?
That's correct.
And that's what you went after this guy for, his role in it.
And that's where my second point comes in.
Okay.
And here, what's a little bit different, although it appeared in Morin and Sanchez-Hernandez, is we had to rebut the defense that he was just an ordinary alien. In a lot of these other cases, the person might say, well, I didn't do it. But what Mr. Montes Salas is saying is, I was just like the Dominicans, and I was just like the Indians. I was just sitting there. And a third situation, which is a little bit unique here, although it is in other cases, is there was no preservation of error. If you look at the agent's testimony in this case, is unlike in Gutierrez-Farias, we have agents who had personal knowledge that testified. In other words, the Border Patrol agent had been there when they were driving by, and he was able to look in the vehicle and see Mr. Montes Salas there, and he was chased and caught immediately.
Well, let me ask you, you say that here we're addressing a plain error, no injustice done, but suppose we just assume for the moment that the other piece of evidence that the prosecutor hammered home with the jury was this, was the linkage to Carlos, which assume for the moment that that's not competent. There was not competent evidence of that. So you have, and that's error.
You're talking about the phone records.
If that's true, then you add to that this business of the we're talking about profiling, and at some point you reach an injustice in the thing.
But here's why I can't agree with that.
But you said there's less of a chance of convicting an innocent person. That's your justification for the profiling.
Absolutely not. I'm just saying that separates this case from a lot of the drug cases that are there. But here's where there's a huge linkage to Carlos. I'm sorry?
This is a strange way, maybe even incriminating way of putting it.
Well, oftentimes the way the court has addressed that is it's concerned in these drug cases of convicting an innocent person, and that's why I use that. But
the quick answer to that, if that's so, why do you use it?
Well, Carlos here was at the first house, the second house, and the third stash house. We know it's undisputed that Montes Salas, by two witnesses, was at the third stash house. Mr. Fernandez, one of the Dominicans, said he was not a member of the group of nine. He was downstairs eating when they arrived. He heard Montes Salas tell a woman to get him something to drink. He heard Carlos tell Montes Salas to give the group blankets. Carlos told Montes Salas to help hand out the blankets. And he saw Montes Salas the whole time he was at the third stash house, which was approximately 16 hours. Also, and very importantly, Mr. Fernando testified depositions weren't numbered, so both Mr. Sokolow and I did it by exhibit number 6B, pages 38 through 53, that while Mr. Fernando was hidden in the truck, he heard a discussion that led him to believe the guide was in the front seat. But we also heard from one of the Indians, G. Gusharan Singh. He said that Monte Salas answered the door. He led the way upstairs where the Dominicans were. He showed them the restroom, and both Monte Salas and Carlos slept outside. So he was clearly in some type of supervisory role. Excuse me. And then we have agents Rodriguez, Santos, and Paz subsequently see Monte Salas sitting in the passenger seat of the vehicle. But we needed the agent's testimony to explain how this alien smuggling business works and to rebut that testimony. Mr. Monte Salas maintained that he was hidden the whole time. And if you look at this testimony, it traces the alien smuggling, if you will, from point A to point Z. It doesn't just narrow in on guides. It talks about payment. It talks about stash houses. It talks about transporting a variety of things. And the testimony simply isn't used to prove guilt. In a lot of the drug cases, for example, in Gonzalez-Rodriguez, they talk about, well, they personalized it as to the defendant, forging logbooks and things like that. We don't have that testimony
but
here.
Why isn't it just fair for instead of putting on this evidence that clearly indicates, as Judge Higginbotham says, specific identity with the guilt of this particular client, for the lawyer just to argue those facts?
Well, in Sanchez-Hernandez, this court specifically said is, although the case has criticized the omission of direct evidence, this court has not held the government can't argue the inference. And that's on page 833.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why you don't just argue it without putting on these experts. You could say, I mean, this is the reasonable inference that you can draw from this evidence, is that this person was different from the rest of them, and that under these circumstances, there had to be someone who was leading these people into the country.
But that presupposes that the jury knows all about that. They know how the smuggling operation works, and they don't. And here you have a fellow who said, well, I'm just one of them. I'm just along for the ride. I'm too trying to circumvent the checkpoint. How's the jury going to...
Well, you can say, I mean, you could put somebody on, you could put your witness on to just simply say that these, let me tell you, if somebody, in my opinion, there was somebody in that truck that was going to lead these aliens around. If not, there's somebody in the bushes. Somebody was going to have to lead these issues. And the evidence indicates that this person was different from all of the rest and had all the indicia of someone who was going to lead them. And then you go there, and he was riding in the truck in the front. He assisted these people. He was different from them in these respects.
But
draw that inference. What would have been wrong?
But under this court's precedence, that's not what the government is required to do. This court has specifically said that.
I understand.
Well, because I think the average juror doesn't know about alien smuggling. And if you have a defendant in a post-arrest statement...
So you're saying without the profiling, you don't have a case?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that the jury...
Without even plain error.
Pardon me?
You're arguing that without even plain error, I mean, there's no plain error. Even if it is, it's not plain error, which means that that you otherwise are going to make the case without it.
Without
the profiling. Are you saying you can make the case without the profiling? Could have.
I believe that if this court were to find that it's plain error, that it's certainly not prejudicial. In other words, his substantial rights were not affected because there's a plethora of other evidence, as I just said before, that puts him from the third stash house into the front seat and then caught by the agent. So, and we have two witnesses.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
What does that tell me?
Yeah.
It tells.
That evidence alone doesn't tell you that he was guilty of himself smuggling.
I couldn't understand.
It doesn't tell you that he was guilty of smuggling.
What, that evidence?
That evidence does not tell you that he was guilty of smuggling.
I absolutely disagree. I think there is evidence to do that because we learn from the third stash house forward that Mr. Monte
is different from the rest of them.
Well, apparently he had a supervisory role because he slept outside and for all the reasons I previously stated.
Right.
But this court has stated many times that the government is allowed to put on background testimony. And a lot of these cases, what this court has found to be erroneous is where an agent personalizes it, if you will, as to a particular defendant. And here, the agent's testimony was about the business model, which this court approved in Morin and many cases backwards from that.
But I understand the business model concept, but you know, you're Think a minute about how we got to this point. It hadn't been that many years ago when, in criminal cases, the expert witness testimony largely came in as a summary witness in tax cases. And the FBI agent would go through and examine these records and go through it and tell the jury. And from that point forward, then we've increasingly held, the prosecutors have started calling expert witnesses. And eventually, we were at one case involving a banker, but it sounded like they were trying a product liability case with experts, a battle of experts over what this banker did and didn't know and so forth, because they wanted the business model. I mean, there's a point. There's a difference between a criminal case and a civil case, and the difference is that, to me, that it's the law, too, that you got to leave the – you can't argue – you can't make the ultimate assertion of guilt in the form of expert testimony. That's the problem we work against.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah.
But I don't think that occurred here. I think that agents did not testify in the form of absolutes. If you look, they would say it all depends on the situation. Sometimes there's one guide, sometimes there's many, sometimes this, sometimes that. This did not exactly track what had happened, and the agents, independent of what, for example, Agent Rodriguez saw with his eyes in the vehicle, mm-hmm. the agents did not say, because this is the general business model, he's guilty of being a guy.
But see, the difficulty I was having your last argument, I think Judge Jolly as well, when you argue plain error, I'm talking about the concept of plain error, which includes a willingness to reverse despite the absence of an objection, going that far. If we were to find that it was error to use this type of testimony with regard to the front seat, and your answer to that, well, that is not plain error because there's plenty of other evidence to convict him. And what that takes me back to is, then, why did you need this business model?
I can't speak for the prosecutor, but I will say this. A jury, the average juror, does not know about alien smuggling. The average lawyer doesn't even know about smuggling, that they're stash houses, that they're guides, that they're all these types of things. The same is true of drug smuggling. Most people just know about the after effect.
Well, there's no reason that the expert can't just testify generally about alien smuggling.
You said there's no reason? Is that what you said?
In other words, he could talk about stash houses. He could talk about the fact that somebody needs to lead them across the deserts and so on. But then to start saying that he always sits in the right-hand side of the car and that he always stops and they let him out first or second, that he runs and there's a reason for that. And so, I mean, you can't.
All of which just happened to be the fact pattern here.
Right,
but as this court has said in Morin and in other cases, you have to look at the overall context of the agent's testimony. And the overall context of this particular testimony was educating the jury about alien smuggling as opposed to cherry-picking one particular fact. And don't forget, we have Fernando.
Did the expert on alien smuggling testify to any identification or characteristic that had not occurred in this case?
Yes, I believe so, because like I said before, he said it depends on the facts. There could be one person, there could be two. The driver may or may not know the guide, things of that nature. So it wasn't, it didn't.
They didn't know each other, but he explained it well when pointed out on cross-examination. He said, well, that is unusual.
But the testimony was largely not concrete. It could depend on this, it could depend on that. And that's where you defer to the jury, for the jury to make this decision. Because otherwise what you have is a fellow post-arrest statement, I'm just trying to go pick up my things. I need to circumvent the checkpoint. I don't want to get my wife in trouble. I'm going to take a bus. Once I clear Falfurrious, I'm going to just take a bus and everything's fine.
Let me press you just a little bit on that. You see, he's sitting in the front seat, and all these things happen. A good advocate would say that he's sitting in the front seat because he is not part of the other group. And he's not part of the other group because he is going to run. And you can make those arguments, but you're not happy with that. What you really want to put on this is the expertise that comes in and says, this is our experience, and this is the pattern. so that the inference the jury has to draw is only, did this guy sit in the front seat? Because we know who sits in the front seat and what that means. In other words, you draw the inference in the form of expert witness. And that's a linkage, and you want it because when you tell me that when a prosecutor puts it on and he hammers it in the jury, I'm very cynical that when he comes back and said, we didn't need it, it was just collateral stuff. As lawyers do, you know that. You're a good advocate.
Well,
you're going to go to the good stuff.
But I think what happened here is this court has given the government or whomever a license to prove this type of thing up. And the one point I do need to make real quick before my time runs out, in relation to the hearsay and the linkage, there also was the Gusharan Singh, as the record shows, he called his sister, and she was part of this because on page 227 through 28, he had told Agent Rodriguez that he wanted to call her so she wouldn't pay a higher fee given that he had been arrested. Now, if you look at his testimony, it's not as clear. I think there were some translation issues, not necessarily the court reporter, but perhaps with him. So there you have that linkage back to Carlos again. But the fact of the matter is, and with all due respect, I know that some judges don't like us to say that, but the fact of the matter is the agents here did not give a direct opinion about his intent, his knowledge, or his mental state, or give the functional equivalent. I have read these cases.
Well, he didn't have to. He said, the guy in the front seats is a guy. Now, that's all I can say. But the other thing is, but he was in the front seat.
Right. And I think what I would have to bid you adieu is with Morin, where this court has said you have to look at the context. And this case deserves it. And especially because we don't have a lot of alien smuggling law, I think, on that
point. Before you run out of time, in fairness to you, would you talk about the hearsay argument?
Yes. Well, I just mentioned the sister.
You did.
And the linkage to Carlos. And so what we have here is this court's, it's an older opinion, but Masyak, where it was a drug case off the coast, marijuana, and this court said that the letter that was involved wasn't introduced to prove the truth of the matter asserted, but it was circumstantial proof of the conspiracy linking the defendants to the vessel and to each other. And so here we have that with Montesalas.
So there's a linkage to him. I mean,
it's not for the truth of it.
Pardon me?
It's the truth of it.
Not for the truth of the statement that the sister says that this phone number is X, and you're offering that not for the truth of it?
I think it's a linkage.
How do you get the linkage if it's not for the truth of it?
Because if this court state, as I understand Masyak as well as Fuentes in those cases, this court finds that it's for the limited purpose of linking the co-conspirators, which in this case would be.
Well, that's not an exception to the hearsay rule. The only reason we want to offer this hearsay is to tie these two people together.
Excuse me?
I said there's no exception to the hearsay rule to say, well, Your Honor, I want to offer this, but it's really not hearsay because all we're doing is linking these two people together. But we're linking them together by an out-of-court declaration that would otherwise be hearsay. I don't follow that.
Well, I think Masyak dealt with that same situation, linking the co-conspirators.
I wanted to give you a chance to address that.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Mr. Sokoloff, you have some time for rebuttal.
Sorry, briefly. I sort of want to back up for a minute. And aside from saying, hey, you, pass out those blankets, or hey, you, get that pizza in there, I want to back up and just point out that the aliens in this case were crossed over the river from Mexico to the United States. They went to one house. They were picked up, went to another house. They were picked up, went to a third house, were then lined up and put in a pickup truck. There was no evidence that Mr. Montes Salas guided them from one house to the next house.
But there was evidence that he didn't join up with them until that third step when he was having lunch with a lady that was pregnant.
Exactly.
I just remember that.
But still, there wasn't even evidence that at the third house he told them line up or he told them how to get into the truck. That was all Carlos. So when you boil it down, there's a guy passing out blankets and pizza because some guy says, hey, pass those out. And Mr. Fernandez, another alien, who's making up bags of food because Carlos tells him, make up bags of food. So what the evidence is you're sitting in the catbird seat. That's it. If you're in that catbird seat, you're a guide. Let me say a word about the hearsay also. I think the Maziak case, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, but that is obviously an operative fact case. That is not a hearsay case. We have a boat with marijuana on it and four defendants on the boat, and the government finds a letter on the boat with the marijuana with the four defendants' names in it. And this court says, well, that comes in just to show that the names are on it, that somehow these four people have a letter on a boat with their names on it. That's not hearsay. That's just an operative fact. Here, as Judge Higginbotham pointed out, we have what we have is hearsay, an out-of-court declarant saying, oh, this phone number is on my phone, and it came up, my brother called me, and this is the phone number of Carlos the smuggler, which then gets repeated, which is double hearsay. Your Honors, for all the reasons I've stated, I respectfully request that you reverse Mr. Montes Salas's convictions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sokolov.